Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant, unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words. We understand this. We'll skip ahead just a little bit. That thou mayest, what, this is verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, these will be hard words for me. I pray, Father, that you help each and every one of us in here to understand what it is we see here in Proverbs chapter 2. The Lord, we would reach out with a heart like Solomon, seeking wisdom not just for ourselves, but Lord, for our children. Help us, Lord, to be examples of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, a life that is pointed towards you, that all those around us, be they our children or not, may find you in the ways that we do. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When I say the word nurture, we often think of mom, don't we? If I say, hey, a nurturing presence in your life, we often think mom. And of course, that makes sense because we link that to love and snuggles and encouragement and food and all the things that moms bring to us. The true definition of the word nurture is to care for and encourage growth or development of something, which aptly fits. But men, we have a responsibility to nurture our children, to care for them, giving them what they need and require for life and for a sustainable lifestyle. Even if it comes down to telling them that what they want isn't going to be what's good for them. I had a heartbreaking conversation with somebody. They were not listening to their parents. This is somebody I've known for a very long time. Just didn't agree with something that their dad had to tell them. And this is about a permanent decision in their life. I said, listen, let me tell you a story about a time when I was about to make the exact same decision, but your dad, he stood up, your mom stood up, and they pointed me towards a more godly path. And I walked it. And I was angry at them, and I was bitter at them for saying those words, but I did as they asked me to do. And I listened to their wisdom, and it didn't completely make sense to me. But now that I look back with experience, I can say they were right. Not because they were a mom or a dad or a youth leader or a deacon and his wife in the church or just that authority presence in my life. Not because of who they were, but because of what it was they were saying. We have a responsibility to nurture, to encourage growth. And sometimes it involves telling them they can't have what they want. When they are precious babies, no, you cannot have ice cream for breakfast. It's no good for you. when they are 16 and they want to go out in the car and they want to stay out till 2 in the morning? No. Why? That's dangerous. Do you know how many people die on the road at that hour? How many drunkards are out there buzzing around? Now we've legalized marijuana. There's no way I'm letting you out at 2 a.m. with a vehicle capable of going up to 80, 90 mile an hour. No. It's not good for you. Now, as they grow up, hey, listen, I'm not sure if that's the right thing for you. I'm not sure if that's the right path for you. Here, let me give you some wisdom and some knowledge, because I want you to have a good lifestyle. I want you to have a sustainable lifestyle. What is it that they tell kids? You turn 18, take out a couple credit cards. Put yourself massively in debt. That don't sound right, does it? Don't sound right. That's not how you build money. Well, but yet, there it is. Here it is. It's good for them. It's good for them. That's what I was told. I was told by a lot of folks. That's what you got to go do. Go out and get two or three of them. Start using them. Right? Build up your credit. It's good. I even have people call all the time. Hey, congratulations. It's your birthday. Also, we've got these partners that we partner with, help get you a line of credit. What line of credit? It's a credit card. High interest. There you go. Right? I heard a comedian say one time, not just high interest, but highly interesting. And I don't know. We want them to have sustainable lifestyles. They start running around with people we know are no good for them. We try to warn them. Why? Because when we were kids, we saw that kind of a person. And we saw them, what they would do when they would run around. And we saw the trouble they would get into. And the danger they would put themselves in. So we tell our children, don't do that. Oh, Dad, you don't know. Dad, you don't understand. You were never young like me. These people aren't like those people. These people are special. Because they're my people. Oh, sometimes we got to step in and say what is not popular. Sometimes we got to step in and say the things that they don't like to hear. Oh, that's controlling. Let me tell you this. When we read through the book of Proverbs, I do not see where Solomon was trying to control his son. What Solomon is doing is he is giving him tools. Here. Think this way. Apply this to your decision making. You see this? That's what it is. You mess with it, this is what's going to happen. He warned about the evil man. He warned about the strange woman. This is what they do. Be careful of them. I have never once in my life had the daydream of controlling my children when they became adults. I never want to control them. But I do want them to be equipped with sound wisdom and understanding. I want them to know the elements they're playing with. And right now it's my responsibility. Don't play out in the street. We got a quiet street, so it's not really a big issue in our house. But don't play out in the street. Oh, Dad, you don't think I'll move when a car's coming? I don't know. There's a lot of bad drivers out there. There's a lot of elements when you're playing in the street. Don't play in the street. Remember back when you used to play in the street, be able to play in the street? That's one of our favorite things on earth to say, car! And we grew up at a trailer park, and you'd have these little cul-de-sacs where it would rip around. Every block was just kind of like an oval. And we would go down into the back of the oval, and we would play back there. And when a car, and we would all get to the side, and the car would be nice and notice us and be slow as we got out of the way and move the net or move whatever it was we were playing with. And they would go through and they'd bark. Nowadays, you don't know if those people are going to see you. They probably got their cell phone up to their face, for all I know. Saw that happen one time. My manager was out. We were working at one of the McDonald's off of E-Course Road in Taylor. And we were sitting there trying to clean up a curb. And she had her head out. And there was a car coming. I just saw this teenager with her phone up to her face like this. Heather! Pulled her out of the thing. Almost would have hit her. Can't do that no more. Don't play out in the street. Oh, well, you just think I'm dumb. You think I'll just sit there and let a car hit me? That's not how that works. Cars will hit a smart person just as well as they hit a dumb person. You know that? You know, drugs? Drugs will ruin the life of a smart person just as quickly as they'll ruin the life of an intelligent person. Drugs don't care. You think the devil cares? You think diseases care? You think the stuff that you get when you lie down with these dogs, you think they care? They don't care. You could be the smartest, most wise, most put together person on earth, and it'll still come to get you. We had somebody in line to be valedictorian of our class. Got mixed up with drugs. By the time he got to the end of his senior year, mess. He was a mess. And then as we would go on, his life would just continue to get worse. The guy was brilliant. He didn't even need to be. He could have tested out of that school anytime he wanted. Brilliant. He took his life and he threw it down a hole. As parents, it is not our desire to control. It is our desire to teach perspective, to teach understanding, to give wisdom to the decisions that are being made. So I would say this for us dads. There are things that we ought to be saying. If this is the kind of relationship we want to have, Solomon talking to his child, if that is what there are some things we need to say. And for those of you who have ever had a dad that came to grips with your dad because he wanted you to do something a little bit too conservative and it made you angry, I want to tell you what it was he was trying to say. Number one, we want you to listen. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And he goes on and lists, well, what do I want? You know, when they're young like this, got a lot of young kids here, listen to me. Everything you do, you listen to me. And as you grow older, and as you show that you understand things, I give you more freedom. I give you a little bit more privilege and a little bit more responsibility. As you show, you can listen to me. My father, when he would take us aside, we would go up north and he would take us aside and show us the guns that he would have and teach us how to fire them. What do you think the very first thing my dad taught me how to do was? Check to see if it was loaded. That's the very first thing he taught me. Number one, you check to see if it's loaded. Number two, you always keep the barrel downrange. He'd go on, he had a whole series of lists. And guess what? If I failed any of those things that he told me to do, guess who didn't get to go shooting that day? Me. But if I did the right thing, what could my dad then do? All right, you got the right mind about you today. I trust you. Here's a little bit more slack. And I got to have myself a good time. You know what I learned? I learned that if you keep things in order and you follow the rules, there's less danger and you get to have a whole lot more fun, right? Things are a whole lot easier when you follow the rules. Well, that's just true. You need to get over the idea that you're not supposed to have any rules. We're going to have rules. Why? Because there's going to be things that will hurt you. There are going to be things that will hurt other people. And you need to have something in place to say, if I do this, I'm opening the door to bad things. We want you to listen. And at the very young age, that's all it is. Listen, listen, listen. You know, I've got some kids remind me a bit like me. They don't want to just listen. They want to try to explain it alongside of me. No, shh. Right now you listen. Don't guess. Listen, soak it up. Well, why do we go to church? That's a good question, dads. Why do we go to church? Is it because we're supposed to? Is it because it's Sunday? Is it because I said so? Or is it because that is the day that God's people deem to get together on the to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by having a church service? Well, why do we got to go twice? Because the services are twice, and I don't want to miss that preaching. I don't want to miss that fellowship. Why we got to go to prayer band? It don't make no sense we got to go to prayer band. So we can pray together. And there's value to it. There's a sense to it. See, so often we're good at saying what should be done, but we fail at saying why. If we want them to listen, we better be saying things of substance. Let me tell you the truth. Well, why is it that we can't go and do this? Well, because if somebody from the church finds out, we'll be in trouble. No, because if God sees us doing that, and believe you me, he will not be happy. And I don't want to disrespect God that way. What he is saying is, if you listen to me, if you receive my words, And he also uses this phrase, hide them in your hearts. Now, kids, and you were one of them, have this ability to get words away from their heart. Somehow by rolling our eyes, we keep those words out of our heart. All right, listen, I want you to go over and I want you to go talk to your grandma.
Okay, Dad.
No, seriously, go over and visit your grandma today.
Okay, Dad.
And then one day when you're at grandma's funeral, you realize why. You put those things in your heart. Hey, don't talk to your mother that way. And men, we ought to be doing that. Don't talk to your mother that way.
Okay, Dad.
And then one day they get a child that's just like them, sassing them. Well, it really hurts my feelings. Yeah, okay. Okay, bud. No, there's a reason why we listen. It is not because we are stupid. It is not because there's always somebody intelligent. I'll tell you this. When Xander was born, I was terrified before he was born that I did not know enough to be his dad. But you know what happened immediately after he was born and I held him in my arms and I thanked God for him being there? You know what happened in my mind? Absolutely nothing. I was still just as dumb. I still had no idea. You're not granted immediate knowledge. Where did Solomon get all of his wisdom? Where did he get it? He asked God for it. What did he keep going back to? What God had to say. That's what he did. Went back to what God had to say. And that is what we must do. Rely heavily on the Heavenly Father. Rely heavily on the doctrines that we learn from the Bible. And then, once we have sound knowledge, well then that child will be more tempted to take that and keep that with them. And that is what we must do. Hey, take that information, put that in there. But me as a father, I need to say things that are worthy to be kept in the heart. And he sits there and says, if you're willing to listen, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, if you listen, if you put those words in your heart, you'll get to the point where you yourself are willing to incline your ear to wisdom. So the very first step when they're very young is you just listen. Just listen. That's the part of training anything. If you were to go tomorrow and try to learn anything new, that's exactly what you would do. The first thing you do is just sit there and listen. Listen. And then what? And then you begin to incline your ear to wisdom. Now that I know a little bit, and I can see the relationship between the things I know, all right, Dad says I shouldn't tell lies. And I tell you what, I lied and I hurt somebody's feelings and this happened. I just got into bigger trouble. I get it now. I start to see it. So then we start to listen for wisdom. Because wisdom has a certain sound to it. You understand? Wisdom sounds like knowledge. Wisdom is encompassed, it's just filled with knowledge, right? That's what it is. Knowledge in practice, right? Knowledge in practice. So it sounds a certain way. Whereas some folks, we'll make all sorts of weird arguments, and we don't quite see the understanding of it. You hear this thing, everybody's supporting the battle between Disney and Florida right now? You guys following that? And who do you have supporting Disney? Well, liberal socialists. You know what's weird about that? Here you are supporting a business's right to govern itself and to govern a plot of land. If this was Amazon, they'd have burned it. If this was Target, they'd have burned it. But because they got a cute mouse and they'll fly a rainbow flag, they're okay with a big business having its own government. Isn't that weird to you? See, I hear that, I go, that don't make no sense to me. Why should a business have its own police force? Have its own medics? I get that, I understand why that has it, but why should they be able to govern themselves as though they themselves are a government? You're a business. You make money. You sell balloons. You give people rides on things. You make movies. You're not a government, but they act as one. And all everybody gets, oh, anti-Florida this, anti-Florida that. Well, if it was Enron or anything else saying, hey, we're our own stable government, you'd be having fits. Right? Any business without a union and they throw a temper tantrum. So I hear stuff like that. I go, that don't sound right to me. Why? Because it's lacking certain knowledge. It's lacking certain knowledge. Wisdom sounds. And we incline our ear to that wisdom. Hey, there's a lot of knowledge in this teaching. There's a lot of knowledge in this choice. Right? I see it. I see it. Facts in it. I'm willing to follow it. And not just to incline our ear to it, but to apply our heart to it. I've known a lot of people that can sit there and say, yes, that is wise. Yes, that makes sense. But they don't go out and do it. I think we've all been guilty of that, haven't we? We've inclined our ear to wisdom. We know wisdom when we hear it, but our heart doesn't do nothing with it. We see in this passage where we cry out, right? We cry out for that knowledge. Hey, teach me, ask for wisdom. Some don't. Some don't. There's a lot of people, we say young people, but it's every kind of people. They'll get into a position where they have to make a big decision. And instead of stopping and asking people questions, instead of asking for wisdom and asking for knowledge, they guess at it. Young people, pay attention to me for a second. You're not going to be able to make it without asking for direction. We always give dads a hard time for that, don't we? He never stops and asks for directions. He never listens to the GPS. I knew a kid they were moaning about. Their dad would always use the GPS but never follow it. So the thing would just recompute all the time. Just beep, 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 beep. Drive him nuts. You need to ask for directions. You were not born with a perfect compass. Nobody was. There's going to be things you want, things you desire. They're going to be bad for you. Things that will turn out to be traps. Things that will turn out to be detrimental to both your health and to your future. It is imperative that you learn to stop and ask for wisdom. Hey, what do you think? I'll tell you what. When I learned to ask for the wisdom of others, my life opened up in a way I did not expect. Trust me, I had ideas. I think I've said this before. Back when I was 18, I was the smartest human being on earth. Something bad happened after that. I got married, and I realized, this life thing is harder. Right? You start paying bills. This is difficult. You got to make all these huge decisions. Do I go to school here? Do I go to school there? How do we fund it? How do we do this? Do I move? Do I take this job, that job? Man, you have ideas. I had 1,000 ideas. But I tell you what, I was making a mess until the day I learned to stop and ask for the wisdom of those who have been there and done that. Doesn't that just make sense? If somebody's done something before, wouldn't it make sense to stop and ask them? It's important. You know, I'd always ask my pastor before I would do something. Hey, pastor, what do you think about this? Would you pray over this with me? What Bible is there about this? Is there anything that would guide me in this? I know I've looked. I can't find anything, but what do you think? And sometimes he'd be able to give me some direct counsel. Sometimes the best he could do is pray for me, and I'll tell you what, that was the best. But I'd always stop and ask questions. I'd ask other people in the church. Hey, you've done this before, right? Yeah. Well, how'd you approach it? This is what I did. We need to ask for wisdom. Make some noise for understanding and wisdom. We see here the value of it. If we were to value wisdom, verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. And that's what I was kind of getting at there when I'm going around asking and looking things up and researching. I thought I had it all set. I was going to go down to college with Danielle. We were going to go to Tennessee Temple. They had a neat biology program at the time. It didn't last very long, it doesn't sound like. But they had a cool program going on down there. And I was going to go down there for pastoral leadership. I got there. They got a brand new president. I go, okay. So I started asking questions. I met with the president's son, and I got a weird vibe off of him. Not a Christian one. more of a rock and roll Jesus kind. You know what I'm talking about? That's very prominent in these non-denominational types. I think the president himself had a motorcycle, and on the motorcycle gas tank it said, "Jesus is awesome." And I got, you know, he is awesome. Not entirely sure I'd emblazon my Harley with it, but all right. So I asked the Bible teacher, this guy, he had a great reputation for being a fantastic Bible teacher, right? Make J. Vernon McGee look like he was just out there trying. You know what I mean? Make J. Vernon McGee look like our daily bread, just shallow pools. I asked him, I go, "So what do you think is going to happen in the future?" I knew better than to ask him what he thought about the president. What do you think the biblical future of this college is going to be? And he goes, "Well, man, I got to be honest with you, I'm retiring this year." And I go, "Any reason why?" He goes, I go, are you ready to go out? You got a retirement plan?" He goes, "No, it's just time for me to move on." I go, "Gotcha, buddy. Gotcha. Sometimes you got to dig to find that wisdom. But if you're willing to dig for it, and you find it, it's worth it. If you dig for biblical wisdom, discernment in the decisions of your life, I'm telling you, it's all going to be a whole lot better than if you just guess at it. We should value wisdom and understanding and seek for it like treasure. We ought to look for both wisdom and understanding all around us. And I'll tell you this, God, he lays it up. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You go to the Lord for wisdom and for understanding, and I promise you, he's got it stored up. He will put someone in your path to tell you what, why, and how. I have never had that fail me. When I have needed knowledge, when I have needed wisdom and understanding for something going on in my life, I have gone to God and I have found it. Now, it's not always the fix-all, cure-all that everybody's always looking for, but it is the solution. It is the real deal. Sometimes it's just perspective. Sometimes it's a detailed list of what exactly to do, but God will not fail in giving you wisdom and understanding. And that wisdom and understanding will be a buckler, it'll be a shield to those who choose to stay upright. Now, if you choose unrighteousness, that wisdom and knowledge is just going to undo you, as it should. As it should. But to those that stay upright, those who seek wisdom and knowledge, not just to have it, but to put it into use, they will be shielded from the consequences of sin. Why? Because you're not going to do those things. It's the one way to be shielded. It's the only way. Well, how is it that I can get people to see that I don't do bad stuff? You don't do bad stuff. That's it. Everything else, the sin will find you out. That's what the Bible promises, does it not? Be sure your sin will find you out. You want to be upright? You got to be upright. And you will be protected from the things that happen when you do wrong, because it won't be there. You'll have the ability to make decisions that'll sustain what's going on in your life. Why? Because you already know good stewardship principles, because the Bible taught them. You'll know how to make decisions because the Bible taught you. We've got some classes coming up for camp. I'm really excited. Used to be classes were just for the kids, and the adults would find one class, and if you weren't taking a nap, you'd go to that class. We got a bit of a diversification. We got classes that'll be taking place on marriage. Want to know why? Because not a lot of churches are teaching about biblical marriage anymore. And I'm not just talking about one man, one woman, and a pack of kids. No, I'm talking about how you ought to behave in marriage. Brother Chuck Hunt's going to be giving that one. We've got one on practical Bible study, how to form your own personal Bible study, how to study the Bible as you go through it. We've got one just for homeschool moms. We've got one on biblical stewardship, how to keep your finances in a God-honoring way. And it's more than just making sure your tithe and offering is in. Right? We got all sorts of stuff happening. Why? Because it's important to teach those things. Because there's an awful lot of bad stuff out there. And if I don't learn how to do stuff right, I'm asking for it to come into my house. We ought to ask the Lord for wisdom. But dads, how can we expect our kids, be they grown or be they little, how can we expect them to seek sound wisdom if they never see dad doing it? It is a pitiful statement on men that women have become the spiritual leaders of the home. It is. Now, I'm not saying that because women are less. I'm saying this. Men, it was our job. Mama shouldn't be dragging daddy to church. Mama shouldn't be dragging the kids to church. Dad, hey, come on, let's go. Now listen, I grew up in a home where my dad wasn't safe, so my mom did the best she could, and I ain't picking on that because I had that. I ask you to still pray for my dad's salvation. My point is this. Those little eyes back there, I can holler. I can scream. I can whip things around the room. I could whip their little tails. But they ain't going to find wisdom and understanding from fear of me. They're not going to find wisdom and understanding because I tell them to have wisdom and understanding. You know how they're going to have wisdom and understanding? When they look over at their old man and he is acting in wisdom and understanding and seeking wisdom and understanding. And he is able to be wrong in front of them. And he's able to show them how to get right in front of them. I've met some incredibly defensive kids. You ever meet some incredibly defensive people? Your shoes aren't tied. Well, why don't you look at your own shoes? Sorry. Can't tell them nothing. They get defensive. You wonder why they get defensive? Mom and dad never taught them how to get things right when they're wrong. So all they know is the shame and the embarrassment of it. He said my shoes were untied. Well, who is he to walk around telling people about shoes being untied? No, son, do you know how to tie your shoes? No. I'm sorry, kid. Let me teach you. Let me show you. We ought to be able to be corrected and show them, hey, listen, dad was wrong on this, so this is what we're going to do different now. Okay. You'll bring life to your house. You start acting that way. My kids aren't in my house. It'll still happen. Trust me. They see wisdom in you. They see knowledge in you. It won't matter. Now, again, is this going to force wisdom and knowledge upon them? No. We all know that. Let me ask you, did you do everything your parents wanted you to do? Were you perfect at it? No. Let me ask you this. Did you ever disappoint your parents? Probably. I know I have. So you know what? You can't make your kids do anything. But I can make it as easy as possible for them to find knowledge and understanding. I could demonstrate what to do with knowledge and understanding. I can make it a part of my lifestyle. I can make it easier. I can't make it for sure, but I can make it easier for them. In verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. See, nowadays, you just start off as a good person. You're a good person because you say you're a good person. Right? If you think you're decent and moral and you think you've got value based off of your Instagram likes and how good your grades are and how big your bank account is and how what your promotion was you just got, where your office is, how big your toolbox is. If you're basing it off of that, today in the world, they'll sit there and say, yes, you are wonderful. What's that? You're flying the right flags in your front yard? Hey, that makes you a good person. What's that? Every time such and such happens, every time the devil blows his little flute, you march along with him? Hey, you're a good person. What's that? You're dressing like this and you're acting ungodly? Well, that makes you a wonderful person. If you're doing that, you're going to find disappointment. This world believes ungodliness is righteousness, and it's weird. Bible tells us to beware of the things. Beware of the people that call godliness or call what's right wrong and what's wrong right. And that's what we've stumbled upon. People who are willing to look at the right things that are right and call it wrong. But if I apply myself to wisdom and knowledge, if I look for it, I put it into my heart, then I'll get righteousness. You know, we sit there, we think, oh, well, it's, you know, it's all subjective. Righteousness is subjective to the person. It's not. It's not. You know, I had a conversation with somebody about abortion. They sat there, they said, well, you only think that because you are a Christian. No, I think that because I believe there is a child in there. Well, that's just a clump of cells. It's a clump of cells becoming a person in there. There's a person. And no matter what my religious affiliation, I believe that that heartbeat has value. I believe that it was created in the image of God and deserves to live. I've got a cousin right now. Pray for her. She lost her baby at 6 months. 6 months. Could you imagine? Going in for surgery to have a child removed. Gestated only 6 months. Her heart's broken. And I dare any of those sissy-footed liberals to tell her that's just a clump of cells. How dare you? How dare you? Just breaks your heart as a person. Right? So you can't sit there and say that you are a good person and you're okay with murdering other people. Right? It don't make no sense to me. It ain't righteousness. But I get my heart onto what God says. And I value a person. And I value the creation of God. You're going to find righteousness. You make sure that your morality, your actions are correct. You will find righteousness in your life. You'll find you have good judgment. Why is it that it seems like you're always coming up on top? Because I don't do anything dumb. Let's face it, a lot of folks, they struggle. Why? You ain't got to try that hard to look successful in front of some folks because all they ever do is throw it away. Well, you know, that's different because you got money. You got the same money I got, I told somebody one time. I go, you make the same money I do. The only thing is I don't blow $10 a day on smokes. That's it. I got good judgment. That don't make no sense to me. Of course, now it wouldn't be $10. I don't know what it would be nowadays. You know, I'll go out there and blow it on this and blow it on that. We make the same. I just ain't doing that. You know, a coworker and I, we went out to lunch. We saw a guy blow almost $500 on those scratch-off tickets. Don't worry, he won $2. Don't worry. At least I knew he had the gas money to make it home, I guess, provided he lived close enough. It's a joke. Well, how come it, you know, what was it? You see these Maury Povich, or you go on to these court things, and they're trying to decide if somebody is the father. Now, first of all, that's an abomination in the sight of God. If you're sitting there, you go, well, you know, honestly, I really don't know who the dad is. You need to pump the brakes and slow down your life a little bit. Not being mean, but you're making decisions here you should probably slow up on. Right? Even from a worldly perspective, like that woman at the well, you've had 5 husbands and the fellow you're with ain't even him. Right? Even from a worldly perspective, something's wrong. You'll learn judgment. Well, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because that ain't right. Well, the Bible says, judge not. No, it says, judge not that ye be not judged, and whatever judgment you judge out will be the same judgment that you're judged by. And that word means condemn. We're talking good, solid decision-making judgment. Do I do this, or do I do that? We want to have good judgment. And as we apply godly wisdom, and we demonstrate that, our children will learn it too. We need to lay aside the idea of you do this because I tell you to. We need to teach the foundational wisdom to our judgment. Why, Dan? Why are we doing that? Well, we want to honor God. You see the scripture here. And also, every time Dad's done that, it's come out. Right? Daddy doesn't like to gamble. Daddy doesn't like to play around. So if this is what the Bible says, and it has always worked, I'm staying with it. It's exactly what I'm going to do. Right? Many of you, you know, you go out, you got your favorite hunting spot, you got your favorite fishing spot. If every time you went to that spot it paid off, would you ever stop going to that spot? Well, you might try others, but if you're looking to eat, you're going to go back to that spot, aren't you? That ought to be the way it is with the way of the Lord. It works. I ain't going away from it. Let me show you not just what I do, but my relationship and devotion to it before you understand this level of judgment. Equity. Equity is in this verse too. Fairness. Treating everything equally. And even to be able to see what makes a good path a good path. It says, an equity, yea, every good path. Gives us that list there. Not just about having righteousness, not just about good judgment, not just about fairness. And I tell you what, we need fairness. Wisdom will give you fairness. Knowledge will give you fairness. You'll treat everybody well. You'll treat everything the same if you got good wisdom, or if you got good wisdom. But I'll tell you, but there's more things that make a good path than just these, and you'll know them. You'll have them. And that's what dads, we ought to be teaching. And kids, even those of us that have grown past being children, that's what dad's trying to tell us. What makes a good path? So we want you to listen. We want you to be wise. See, the problem is we try to teach wisdom, and dads can be a bit gruff, can't we? Dads can be a little tough. We lack all the soft nurturing of a mom sometimes. Right? Now my wife, she's brilliant in patience. Sometimes I think the reason why I was born with so little is because he gave it to her. Right? He goes, I'm going to put these two together. I'm just going to let her hang on to the patience because he'll lose it. Right? She is patient with those kids. She's patient with me. She has patience. I don't. I try. I'm commanded to, but I fail, and I know many men, we fail the same. And that's not something we should be proud of, but we do. All right, get that done. All right, get that done. Ah, Sam, get it! We turn into Leghorn, what is it? Yosemite Sam. Well, I told you to! Right? You're going to get this done, or I'm going to whip you from here to there, all over the... My dad was really good with those. Now, you don't get that done, I'm going to beat you so hard you won't be able to sit for a week. My dad said he'd knock me in the next Tuesday. One time I made the mistake of telling him, go ahead, you'll forget you told me to do it by then. I learned. He had me working so hard at whatever. He made me do the thing and he made me do it again. And he found other things for me to do. I learned. Don't do that. I want to teach wisdom. But it's hard to teach wisdom with weak patience if we're not demonstrating it ourselves. And again, that's what we ought to be asking. I don't want you to sit there and come back to me. If my kids came back to me for every decision they made, hey, Dad, I got $50 in my pocket. How much of it do I put in gas? I don't want them to do that. 35, 40 years old. You know how dumb I'd feel as a father? No, that's not what I want. Hey, Dad, we were thinking of going to vacation here or going vacation over there. Will you pick for us? Son, you are 50. I will not. I don't want to. I want them to walk out of that house with wisdom. Because one of these days, and you know it, old Dad's going to be gone. And I don't want them to be without a paddle. I don't want them to be without direction. People argue, oh, my dad, he left this to that. My dad will talk about that. Breaks my heart. My brother and I, we would try to be as respectful as we can and tell my dad to shut up. All right, when I die, you get this and you get that. Dad, this is lunch. Now knock it off. We don't want to talk about that. All right, we've already figured out what we're going to do. We're going to sell all your stuff, right? Go on vacation or something like that. And don't worry about it. And the reason why my dad gets worried about it is because my family does have that reputation for fighting over stuff. My brother and I, we got together a long time ago watching some adults argue. We decided as kids, we're not going to do that. Here we are in our 30s, we haven't changed our mind. We're not going to do that. And I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter if you give them the good pillows. It doesn't matter who gets the fine china. It doesn't matter who gets the old shotgun. You know what really matters? If you left them some wisdom. If you taught them how to think, not just fed them what to think, but taught them how to think, that's what they need. That's what they need.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you ought to give the house over to us because we really need the house. I'll tell you what, we really need the...
You know what, if I taught you right, you wouldn't need the house. That's one thing I said to my mom one time. She was talking about it. I said, Mom, I don't need that stuff. You taught me how to do stuff. You taught me how to go out and work. That was my dad when we didn't have money. Guess where he was? At work. That's what he did. That is the one way I learned how to solve almost every problem is you work on it. And I learned from the church. I learned from the men who took me aside and taught. You got to work biblically. You got to find scripture and apply it to your life and your work. Oh, nowadays it's got to be handed. I tell you what, if they ever grow up needing something to be handed to them, I messed up. Now again, that's if I didn't give them the tools. You can give somebody the tools and they not use it. You can give somebody tools and they not use it right. Some people, you can't give them something. Can't give them knowledge. They don't want it. I understand that. But at least I could say, didn't I give you this?
Yeah.
All right. Remember back when they would want to go outside without a coat on? Didn't I just buy you a coat?
Yeah.
I spent the rest of your life. Didn't I teach you how to do this?
Yeah.
What are you doing? That'll happen. You know that'll happen. For some of you, you're smiling at me like it's happening now. Didn't I teach you?
Yeah.
All right then. At least you know you gave it to them. They might not take it out for a walk, but at least you know you left it at their door. And that's what that verse means. Right? Train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. They'll have it. They may not use it, but they'll have it. We got to train them. Teach them. Why? Because life's hard. It is. Life's hard. Making decisions, going through circumstances, having problems, keeping faith. These are all difficult things. And we need to start giving people the tools to use them. Wonder why anxiety is on the rise? Because we stopped teaching people how to people. We stopped. We stopped teaching them how to handle emotions. We stopped teaching them how to handle business, how to prioritize responsibilities. We stopped teaching them that, and they are collapsing. So, well, why are millennials buying new? Don't they know you can just repair the old? Who taught them? Who? Well, this new generation, they're out of their minds. Who raised them? And then who raised their parents? If we're not given the tools, we got a little bit of that blame. That's a little bit on us. Again, whether they threw it out or not, don't matter. At least she gave it to him. At least she gave it to him. We want wisdom. And again, that is why we preach. That is why we holler. That is why we stay dogmatic on things. Because I want you to possess wisdom. I want you to be able to look at a situation and go, that ain't godly. I want you to be able to look at the situation and say, I ain't taking part in this. Because you see the foolishness in it. I want you to be able to smell foolishness from miles away for how much you love wisdom. I want you to know it when you see it. And from that comes a soundness. Man, don't you want your children to be sound? Again, that's the beauty of this kind of message, is it doesn't matter if they're still in the house or not. We want our children to have a soundness in their lives. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. When you let wisdom in and knowledge is sweet to you, some people, knowledge ain't sweet to them. You try to tell them something, hey, you really shouldn't do that. You look at them, what's wrong with you? Don't you know you're not supposed to do that? You sit there, you see people that are chronically in trouble with the law. Well, don't you know you shouldn't do that? Well, they ain't got no authority over me. Okay. I mean, they tased you 4 times last time. And it was only the 9th time you robbed that particular Walmart. So we had that happen one time. We pulled up to a Walmart. We just drove the other way. So we was getting tased on the outside. not a good place. Not up here. It was down by where we come from. That's why when I came out here, you guys, well, there's a Walmart over there. I go, I ain't going to no Walmart. That's where you go. That's where you go to see some criminals get tased. I don't go there. I want you to have some. I want you to have that because there's when it's knowledge is sweet. You don't do that. Why? It'll get you in trouble. You see all this bad stuff will happen. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. When it's sweet to you. You know, I'm having this trouble in my marriage. Well, why don't you see these verses? It sounds like you're going astray here. Why don't you apply this to your life? Let me know what goes on. Oh, you know, brother, that worked out real good. Thank you. That makes a whole lot of sense. Worked out real well. And by the way, it is that easy. Take what you're doing wrong, apply some scripture. Hey, this is what the Bible says about it. Let me start doing that, and it'll work. You know what I mean? I talked to my doctor recently, and he says, are you still struggling with your weight? And I'll be honest with you, it's not really a struggle because the science is simple, isn't it? Don't put that much in, but do this much work. It's simple, isn't it? It's not a struggle. At this particular point, it's a surrender. What it is. It's a surrender. I'm doing the opposite of what I'm supposed to do. I ain't struggling. I'm going with the stream. And that's what we find ourselves in. If I just apply knowledge to my problem and wisdom in my behavior, and that's what we want to teach. That's what we want to demonstrate. There is a soundness that comes in. Discretion preserves you. Understanding keeps you from the wrong things. Stops you from falling off to the wayside. And there's a safety that steps in as well. There's a safety that comes in. Because many of a good person knows that there is danger in things like entertainment. Entertainment's fun. It's how it's how you release your mind a little bit. Entertainment's good. But there's danger in certain entertainments. There's danger in certain things that are being taught nowadays. There's dangers in a lot of the people that we're hanging around. Right? Entertainment, education, environment. Now, I'm not saying education isn't, you shouldn't go to school, but there's a lot of people out there teaching and preaching. You'll find it in pulpits just as much as you'll find it on a computer screen. Right? We need to be careful with what we're bringing into our minds. And it's very hard for a child to learn if there's different rules for what the parents can watch and what the kids can watch. All right, when the kids go to bed, then we'll turn on the rated R stuff. Well, when the kids go to bed, then we'll do this. We'll turn that on. We'll watch this. They see. They know. They understand. You must live upright if you want to expect upright living in your house. See, this as it goes through, it talks about the woman. And it talks about the evil man. They are out there. And they want to drag you in. And you better believe if the roaring lion out there wants to devour you, he'll devour your kids just the same. So you got to teach that. You got to go to war with that lion. And you got to teach that warfare to those kids, no matter what age they are. And you got to demonstrate that warfare every day. Don't allow it. Don't allow them in. And then what happens? Well, after that, we get to the bottom part here. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You know, as somebody who spent some time in this earth, as you have, you've probably seen some people make some massive mistakes. Do things that everybody was doing, but they did it, and they got caught. That one person, you know, we were all speeding down the road, but the cop only got the one of us. Ha ha! And then you've also seen other events like that where somebody didn't get to go home because they died. And then you find out your kid's street racing. You lose your mind. And that is the heart we come at. I want you to be a sound person. I want you to be a righteous person. That's what fathers should be saying. That's what we are saying. I want you to be righteous. Because I want a soundness, a completeness. Right? It says that the perfect will inhabit the land. That word perfect means complete. I want you to be a complete person. I want you to be emotionally sound, physically sound, spiritually sound. My dad still says that to this day. Drive careful. text me when you get home. And I look over at my dad and my mom, because my mom will do it too. Mom does it worse. Be careful. Watch the other drivers. All right, text me when you get home. And you can't just text one and they'll tell the other. You got to text them both. We're home. I'm like, I'll look over at my parents. I'll tell them the same thing every time. I'll do what I want. They'll shake their heads at me. They know. They know I know they'll beat me up if anything happens to their grandkids. And I know they worry. Why? Because I got some in the back I get concerned about. I understand that now. Before it was just funny, but now I get it. Now I get it. And now I see that from their perspective, it never stops. Never wears out. And what the best balm is for a parent's soul. You know, we say for a parent, the best balm for it is to know that their child is out there not being a fool. Is to know that their child is out there capable of sound discretion. Oh, but dads, that's what we got to teach. But let me give you the kicker. It must be demonstrated, and it must be taught in love. Must be taught in love. The sin nature loves to battle authority. Loves to battle an authority. And if you as an authority are willing to step in and you come in too hot, you come in too hard, let's fight. Their little body wants it. You want to fight them. They want to fight you. No. Come in with love. Come in with consistent behavior. Let me show you what I do. Before we do anything, we're going to get down on our knees. We're going to pray. Before we do anything. Right? When we set up projects, I was teaching Xander get that IKEA furniture you buy. What's the first thing you do? You put everything into pieces, right? You get your little buckets out. You put all the little parts in the buckets and you get everything labeled. So I just grab this, grab that, grab this. Now he's at the point where we got him a brand new bed. I said, you want to try to put it together without your dad? And he goes, yeah. Sure enough, he did. And I went to go inspect it. As you do. Let's see what this boy messed up. Sorry, Xander, I'm picking on you. I was so proud. He did so good. There wasn't much I had to tighten. There was nothing missing. Sometimes when Daddy puts stuff together, there's things missing. Or too much of something left behind. You ever have that? That is... Like, there's the normal amount of extra, but then sometimes there's, like, a lot of extra, and you go, I'm missing something here. Don't lay on it. That's what life ought to be. Let me show you how to set it up. Good, now, I'm going to watch you set it up on your own. Good, now, come help me do this. And then what? All right, I think you're ready. What do you think you ought to do? Learning how to build knowledge, how to apply wisdom. Now you tell me what you think you should do and why. That's brilliant. Yes. Let's go forward. Must be done with consistency in our behavior. Because if there's a way that they're supposed to do it and the way that you're supposed to do it, won't work. But if I honor God and I show you how to honor God, and then I teach those fundamental principles, those decision-making things, how to get knowledge, how to apply wisdom, how to develop discretion, how to ask the Lord for all of those things too, then I'm going to see you doing okay. And that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to know they're okay. I want to know they've got the ability to do those things. So me, as a father of young kids, I got my work cut out for me. Some of you sitting there, well, brother, I raised mine. There's still a lot you can do, Dad. There's still a lot you can do. No, you can't force them to come over every night so you can have Bible devotions. But you can offer. You can call them up and pray with them. You can point them to sound wisdom. But the very best thing you can do, whether they are young or they've got young ones of their own or their young ones got young ones, you can live a godly life in front of them to demonstrate how. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I went long, but this is important. There's a lot of dads out there who are dads, but they don't act like it. lot of people out there just putting women into a position and then disappearing. Father, I pray that you teach us to be good fathers, be they in our house or, Lord, they're gone. Help us, Father, to stand firm. Lord, help us to be there for them and give us a heart to encourage them when despite our best efforts, they didn't listen and their hearts are broken. Help us to always be there to help them put things back together, to love them. Lord, I pray you give us patience, kindness, to show and teach everything in love. Lord, not just take our responsibility to you, but to bring our children into that responsibility and teach them that responsibility and how to do it right. And Father, if we lack for any knowledge in what to do right and how to make decisions biblically, Lord, I pray you help us fill in those gaps. So, Father, we can demonstrate you, not just to this world around us, but to those eyes that are watching us, no matter what their age is. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.